From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm John Itzty, in for Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. Coming up, some veterans who were injured in Iraq are rehabbing in the great outdoors.
But first, the Senate is expected to vote within this hour on whether to take away the Attorney General's authority to appoint interim U.S. attorneys without Senate confirmation. It's just one front in the fast-moving U.S. attorney scandal. NPR's Ari Shapiro has the latest.
This morning, amid reports that the White House is looking for a new attorney general, President Bush called his beleaguered friend Alberto Gonzalez. It's been a week since they last spoke. And in the interim, the president's spokesman has delivered tepid endorsements of Gonzalez. According to a White House official, the president and the attorney general had a good conversation about the status of the U.S. attorney issue. The president also reaffirmed his strong backing and support for the attorney general. At the same time, bleary-eyed congressional investigators continued to pore through thousands of pages of Justice Department documents. In one, U.S. Attorney Margaret Chiara of Michigan pleaded with the deputy attorney general to say the real reason for her dismissal. She wrote in an email, "Politics may not be a pleasant reason, but the truth is compelling." In another document, Kyle Sampson, who resigned last week as the attorney general's chief of staff, wrote that he thought it would be a bad idea for the outgoing U.S. attorney from Arkansas to testify on Capitol Hill. Sampson wrote, "How would he answer, 'Did you resign voluntarily? Were you told why you were being asked to resign? Did Griffin, the replacement U.S. attorney, ever talk about being attorney general appointed and avoiding Senate confirmation?" There is little from the attorney general himself in these documents. A committee that was scheduled to hear from Gonzalez tomorrow postponed that hearing. Later today, the White House is expected to announce whether it will cooperate with congressional demands for documents and testimony. If not, committees in both the House and Senate are prepared to vote this week on subpoenas for top White House officials, including political adviser Karl Rove and former White House counsel Harriet Myers. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
One of the fired U.S. attorneys at the center of this controversy is Carol Lam of San Diego. She's the prosecutor who sent former Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham to prison for taking bribes. The Justice Department says that corruption case is not the reason for Lam's dismissal. Joining us now from San Diego is NPR's Scott Horsley. Hi, Scott.
Good to be with you, Madeline.
Scott, one reason the Lam case has attracted so much attention is an email from the Attorney General's chief of staff, who has since resigned, in which he mentions, quote, "the real problem we have with Carol Lam." And I guess the reason why this has attracted so much attention is the email came last May, exactly the time when Lam notified her superiors at the Justice Department that an investigation into Congressman Cunningham was going forward.
That's right. And this is something that Senator Dianne Feinstein has seized upon to suggest that Carol Lam's pursuit of corruption was at the root of her firing. The Justice Department hotly contests that, and in fact, in a press release accompanying the documents that came out yesterday, they say no U.S. attorney was fired in retaliation for pursuing public corruption. And in fact, many of the documents are there to bolster the case the Justice Department's been making quietly until now, that Lam was let go not because she went after Duke Cunningham, but because she didn't prosecute enough immigration and gun cases. We see some traffic with an angry San Diego Congressman, Daryl Issa, about what he called the catch-and-release program for illegal immigrants. And we also see an email from some of Lam's bosses at the Justice Department from last summer grousing that she, quote, "ignored national priorities and obvious local needs."
Scott, were there other complaints about Lam?
Yes, we also see notes from a congressional briefing which says she spent too much time personally trying cases rather than running the big, complex San Diego U.S. Attorney's Office. We know, for example, that Lam personally tried a Medicare fraud case against a San Diego hospital. The trial went on for months, and it ended in a mistrial. Her bosses were evidently unhappy about that. What's interesting, we know from emails released last week that Lam was on the hit list to be dismissed at least as far back as March 2005. And that's important because that's 3 months before the Duke Cunningham case even started. I should say I've not been able to review all 3,000 emails yet, but of the ones I've seen so far, most of them date after that March 2005 hit list was drawn up.
Were her days numbered then as far back as March 2005?
Well, it would seem so. And you could sort of break the emails that were released last night into three groups. There was deliberation and planning about this scheme to fire the U.S. attorneys. There was email traffic in the immediate aftermath of the firing, as U.S. attorneys are asking behind the scenes, you know, what happened, in some cases asking for more time or help in finding new jobs. And then there is the email traffic concerning the explanation of the firing of the U.S. attorneys once it became public. What we don't see very much of in all of these 3,000 pages of documents, at least in Lamb's case, is the deliberation over whether or not she should even be on the hit list. We don't see sort of the history of how she landed on that hit list in the first place.
And what has she said? She hasn't really talked to reporters, has she?
No, she's kept very quiet, except when called to testify before Congress. One thing that's interesting is how much of a lid all of these U.S. attorneys kept on the news between the time they were fired, most of them on December 7th, and when it became public. Some of them dutifully sent in their resignation letters and issued press releases. Others, including Lamb, sort of kept their head down, kept working, expressed dismay at being fired, and tried to get extensions so they could stay on in office. At one point, we see an email from former U.S. Attorney Bud Cummins of Arkansas warning his fellow firees that if they go quietly, they can keep their reputations intact. But he'd been told by his Justice Department bosses, if they made a fuss, the gloves were coming off. And I think we've now reached that point.
Yes, and he has spoken on this program quite forcefully about his firing. All right, that's NPR's Scott Horsley reporting from San Diego. Thank you, Scott.
My pleasure.